Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome along to the Rugby Pod, brought to you as usual by our good friends at Guinness. Our Christmas live show has just sold out, but we are about to release our Six Nations schedule, and there's rumours we might finally be heading to Belfast, guys.
Woo! Sell out, but let's get to Belfast.
And if you're looking for Christmas present ideas for any of the special people in your life, or anyone else you have to buy gifts for, we've got a range of t-shirts out with phrases like, dissect this with an open cloth, also don't upset the fish cart.
Hell of a bush.
And Hell of a Bush. Yeah, that's on there as well.
My kids are going to look great in them on Christmas Day.
Is that what you're getting them for Christmas?
What do you think? Can you imagine my 8-year-old son knocking about the streets in that?
You know when you look
absolute
around?
Legend.
Right, so you know you look at those t-shirts now?
I cringe.
You do?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell?
Every one of those statements is something that you've said. No one else, just you. Idiot.
I can't believe it.
We can get them from 80.club/therugbypod if you fancy getting your hands on some of those for Christmas. Of course, you've just heard Jim and Goody are here with me as usual. How are you, boys? How's the week?
Well, off the back of me hearing the stuff that I've said that is now being printed on t-shirts and the week that I've just had, I'm starting to question what I'm doing.
You've been immortalized. Why are you questioning it?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's there for everyone to see for the rest of your life.
I'm questioning.
What are you questioning, James?
Just who am I? I'm Jean Valjean. Who am I? I had a great week last week with the Barbars, and there was a few standout things that happened. So with Rugby Pass, we are filming a documentary, a behind-the-scenes thing on the Barbarians.
Yes.
We've done a few before.
But that'd be good.
Yeah, it was class, right? So you think... Four-time Barbarian, two-time tourist Jim Hamilton, Rockstar.
How the fuck did you play for the Barbars? You see the skills that those boys have got. They don't need them all, mate.
I wasn't there for the on-field antics.
Exactly.
So I walk into the group and it's kind of been, it's a joint venture, if you like. The Barbars want us to showcase what they're about in the modern era. The Barbarians have now launched a women's team as well. So they're moving forward with the times. All off the back of us getting 70 points put on us against the British and Irish Lions in Hong Kong. It all changed after that, and that was my last appearance for the Barbarians.
Should have been a line, though.
Should have been a line. I'm going to get onto this point.
You've been the catalyst for change, if anything.
I have. So something positive has come out of my life. So I'm there last week, comfortable in my surroundings, know some of the guys that are still there, know the doc still, know the kit man, guys on the committee. Was very fond of the late Mickey Steele-Bodger as well. So I'm quite comfortable in that environment. And one of the good things for me, it was awesome to be back in the team environment. Absolutely loved it. So as we know, Warren Gatland is coaching the Barbars, and it's his first game going back against Wales that he coached for a long time. Absolute legend of the game. So I'm going around shaking people's hands and stuff like that. And you know, you just when you get that feeling that someone doesn't really like you.
I mean, yes.
I bet you do, Goody, and we can come on to that.
Well, I couldn't give a fuck, but yeah.
Bastereau even looked me in the eye and shook my hand. Robin McBride, Robbie Deans.
Did they think you were like a competition winner just to rock up and... Like, are they calling you Kellogg's?
I swear to God, some of them were asking me if I'm playing.
Oh, fuck off, Jim.
So I go around. And it is a bit awkward for me. I said I felt comfortable. There are awkward moments, aren't you? Because they're training, they're there to do a job. I'm neither here nor there. Anyway, Gats was just a little bit off for me. I say I didn't think anything of it. I did. It was kind of bugging me for a couple of days. Anyway, comes down to the sit-down interviews. So we get Bastereau, we get Scott Brits, we get Rory Best. Straight down the camera talking about what it means to play for the Barbars. A couple of the coaches.
First question, before you carry on with the story, you've interviewed Matthew Bastereau.
Yeah.
Did you call him what you call him on the podcast, you bastard?
Yes.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah, he said to me down the camera was, I was asking about the Barbarians, and all he kept repeating is, I killed Goody. I killed Goody, looking down the camera.
He'd eat me.
Actually, quite a nice guy. So anyway, get some of the interviews done on the Wednesday. Get invited to the meal out. Of course I do, because this is where Jimbo kicks in. Go out for a few beers with the lads, getting absolutely mobbed. I'm out with my pimpy. He's wondering what the hell he's wondering what is going on. I'm walking next to him. People are screaming, "Ma pimpy!" And I'm with him. And I'm trying to tell people that is Ma pimpy, World Cup winner. And they still want selfies with me. I have no idea why. So I'm embarrassed. Got in at 3-4 in the morning, which is fine. I was just there with the masses, just being a proper Barbarian, felt part of the team. Wake up the next morning, we've got an interview with Gatland at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm hanging a little bit. Also nervous. Want to make sure that it's right because it's a big deal.
Sweaty?
Sweating.
Yep.
Gatland walks into the room, Gats, Warren, and says to my face, I've got a bit of a problem with you.
Really?
So I literally go into shutdown mode.
Were you panicked? Were you like, Warren, what's the problem?
Denied straight away.
It wasn't me.
So he called me out on an article that was written 2 years ago, which he said was Tommy Seymour and a shirt presentation for the Lions.
What about it?
Exactly. I didn't know what he was talking about.
I remember you said something on the pod about this.
Well, here we go. So you might remember it. I didn't. So my first thing was deny because I couldn't remember. I was hanging. I was nervous and I'd gone into shutdown mode.
Is it like getting quizzed by your missus about what happened the night before?
Who was it?
It wasn't me.
What's this message? What are you on about? Lob the phone out the car. So I'm there. So
eat the SIM card.
What has just happened? So it was one of them where I've gone into shutdown mode. I've just denied. I'm like, no, Warren, what did you say? That was a thing. So there was a big kerfuffle. I'm sweating like an absolute wildebeast. Do wildebeest sweat or not?
Yeah, I don't know. Do they?
I don't know. Yeah, well, this one did. So I'm there, nervous as anything. And I just denied it because I genuinely couldn't think. So I'm trying to do this interview, profusely sweating. And I tried to break a joke. And I said, Gats, we would never have been in this situation like we are now in this awkward tension that we have if you would have put me in 2013 on the Lions tour.
And what did he say?
He just laughed. So, again, I've been scrolling through the archives and there's something in the public domain and it was to do with Finn Russell and something that I said about him not being allowed in the presentation or him not wanting to go for the Lions presentation.
You said it on the pod.
I don't remember saying it. I remember, listen, and this is the thing.
You went to the hotel to meet them?
Yeah, I went to the hotel to meet them.
I've got a good memory, James. Okay, so, I remember
this. Yeah, good, yes. But the old saying goes, you piss in your bed, you got to lie in it. So... It's
you don't have to go to one of the four spare rooms.
Well, that's what I did at the beginning. So basically I pissed in the bed and then I denied it, so I got out of it, but then I had to get back in it because if that is the case, I suppose this is part of my journey, my life that at the minute I hate that I'm living. Hey, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, big fella. And we spoke to Ben Foden last week about the swordsman Tom Evans. I am a swordsman also, and I have to live by what I say in my convictions. So
hold on, are you comparing yourself to Tom Evans as a swordsman?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're very different swordsmen, to be honest.
Well, you can look at
them. I've seen yours. I've got the picture. It was cold and there's hell of a bush.
Yeah.
I don't reckon Tom Evans has got any of that going on down there.
Yeah, I can tell you now he hasn't.
Not when Nicole Scherzinger is around either.
Sweet mother of word. I mean, she was dancing on Saturday night or Sunday or whatever. Ofcom have had a load of...
Did your missus run to the TV and rip it out the wall? It was a reverse, wasn't it, of Tom Evans' top off?
I just threw the sheet on top of her and said, Tom Evans, there we go.
Did you pick the pillow up and just place the pillow in a position where...
Anyway, my learning is...
Don't say anything.
Basically, deny, reaccuse. Gats, what did you say? So he was filthy with me, but I had a hell of a week.
By the end of it, were you and Getz on good terms or?
No.
Okay.
I texted him, but once I got producer Tim to sift through the archives, we couldn't find much.
What was Getz's problem?
I think from what I gathered with all the sweat dripping into my eyes at the time,
Welcome to my world.
I know. He was basically saying that I have made a comment about the Lions not inviting fellow players to the presentation, which I don't remember saying.
I do.
If there's a case of Finn Russell not wanting to go or not being invited, then I wouldn't have said something that I've made up. Well, maybe I did.
What a statement on the podcast. I wouldn't have said something I've made up. I dissected it with an open cloth.
I shouldn't have done then. Listen, and this is part of it, Goody. Like, you don't care. We've had this discussion off air. You don't care if you piss people off because you generally are saying...
I'm honest to myself.
There you go. So you're honest and you generally say what people are thinking. Now, there's a part of me where I'm there and literally I could have been stood there in the middle of London somewhere, stark bollock naked, and I would have felt more comfortable in that scenario than I did in that particular moment where I was hanging and one of the best coaches, he's actually the second best coach in the world, so I think Eddie Jones is better now. Only a bit.
You shouldn't say things that you don't believe in. Don't believe in that?
Yeah, I do now. I do now, but I text him anyway and he didn't reply. Shall I read you the message?
Yeah, go for it.
Hi, Gats. It's Big Jim Hamilton. After our brief interaction yesterday, I've been digging through the archives 2 years ago and managed to find an article which quotes me from a podcast that I do with a fat bloke called Goody. I can't call him fat anymore. I have to call him morbidly obese, so please excuse that terminology. I hear it's about Finn Russell not being part of the Lions group. I couldn't find anything on Tommy Seymour on a shirt presentation. In saying that, I do talk a load of rubbish, and I'm really sorry. Deny, reaccuse. Apologies that it might have caused a stir amongst the ranks. Again, I don't remember anything. Deny. Anyway, good luck tomorrow, and I've got my boots in the boot just in case. All the best, Big Jim.
No response.
Zero. Two blue ticks. Absolutely zero. So,
oh, wow.
Warren, you must listen to the podcast. You do listen to the podcast. And I'm not going to apologize because I genuinely don't remember saying it. I don't remember saying.
You're sorry. Warren's taken offense to what you've said. You're not pissed off or sorry with what you've said.
Or are you just sorry now that you have to go and lie in a bed full of piss?
Yeah, I think so. There's a part of that as well.
Has it gone cold or is it still warm? Because cold piss is very different to hot piss.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, of course. Well, normally in your bath, you know when you wee in the bath, like it's weird because...
We're in the swimming pool,
yeah,
mate.
But with that...
Do you wee in the bath as well?
Yeah, your wee is colder. I don't have baths. Comes out cold if you have a hot bath. You don't have a bath?
No, I'm a shower man.
Do you?
It's hard to get in and out, isn't it?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Goody, how was your week, mate?
Pretty dull, actually, compared to Jim's, by the sounds of it. No, we had a bit of illness. We had a bit of Jim Hamilton illness in the house last week.
Again?
Twins were... They had the bug going around, and I picked it up a bit. So, it was quite a low-key weekend, actually. I'm building up to a big weekend.
I'm starting to question how I do things. And I mentioned it before. I'm not in a great place at the minute. The kids... Finding it tough, you know, looking after the kids, trying to find out what the best path for them is.
It's a full-on bush day, isn't it? We had this conversation the other week.
6 months on now. I'm six months.
There's 6 months bush down there.
How hard is it being a parent? That is what I'm saying. Producer Tim's got one on the way. Are you due soon, Andy, right?
This is my bum bag, mate.
I was a hernia. Mate, it's tough. I am finding looking after four kids quite... overwhelming at the minute.
Have you learned all their names yet, or just still just JJ's?
Mate, it's
JJ plus three.
See, I tell you what the thing is now. I'm having to step up and be the best version of myself that I can be. I tell you what's hard. This is the bit. Homework. I mentioned it before.
So easy, mate. Easy.
Mate, no. I'm telling you now. You wait until you have to go through the different terminology and the pronunciations that they use around their homework. Reading the books.
What age, reading age are we looking at here?
So Phoebe's six and JJ's eight.
So you're struggling with the six-year-old reading level or the eight-year-old leaving?
No, eight's fine because it's a bit more fluid. So my daughter Phoebe sounded them out. So the cat went for a walk. Simple sentence. And there's a thing, so it's phonics. And literally, one line's taken about 5 minutes.
Taking you 5 minutes? If Phoebe's waiting for you.
Exactly.
Dad, hurry up.
So I just go, the cat went for a walk, just turned the page. And Beck's like, no, you've got to, she's got to sound it. I said, she ain't sounding anything. I'm absolutely mocked it. Just bloody turn the page. Don't know what I'm doing with the maths homework. Then I get stressed. And then we all get stressed. And then it's my fault. And then I'm blaming Beck and she's blaming me. And I just walk out the house and say I'm leaving.
And then go to the bar bars and get on the piss and come home 3 days later.
70% of people divorce. I can see why.
Is it that high?
I think so.
Is it?
Did you catch much of the Premiership on the weekend?
I watched plenty of Ruggers.
Should we start with Leicester?
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, we had that conversation with... we were at Hambo's dinner the other week, didn't we? And we had the conversation with Simon Cohen. Who had they beaten that week? They'd beaten Pooh, hadn't they?
They'd beaten Pooh, then they beat Cardiff the week after.
And he's like, oh, you know, feeling good, you know, things are good.
Good pre-season.
Vibe's good, pre-season's good. And then, wa-boom, you play your local rivals, Northampton. And you compare Saracens on the Friday night, who had all their World Cup stars coming back in. And then you look at Leicester, who had nearly as many World Cup stars, and it was as if those boys didn't want to be there, but you saw the heart, everything that all the Sarries boys poured into the game on the Friday night. I just didn't see it from the returning Leicester boys. The club's in the position they're in because of bad management from 5 years. The last 5 years, recruitment, changing coaches, left, right and centre. So you haven't got any consistency there. Now, people are calling for Jordan Murphy's head. He's a good mate of ours. And okay, we're a bit biased. The attack is coached by Mike Ford. I didn't see any attack. I don't know how they're playing. Don't know what they're doing. The defence is coached by...
Phil Blake.
They leaked a load of tries. The line out and the forwards are coached by Mark Batewell. And I think Northampton were calling back moves off Leicester's line out. So Jim, let's get you another job. We tried to get you the Gloucester line out job last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
This week could be the Leicester line-out job. Shocking they were, weren't they?
Mate, they're in dire straits. They really are. Northampton are good, so you can't take that away. I'm with Goodin. Again, we can keep labouring the point. And there is a bias here, similar to with Saracens when we were chatting about that for me. But Goody played at Leicester for 10 years in the glory days. I was amongst that. And again, we've spoken about it before and we may as well speak about it again because Leicester had an identity that was synonymous with Leicester, that old school forward pack, world-class players, and then the game moves on, the game evolves, and Leicester, unfortunately, don't evolve with it. Last year, they weren't great. They've had a number of changes of coaches. You know, what must Cockers be thinking? He got sacked. I think they were they top four that year that he got sacked. I think they finished top four. Either way, one of your most successful coaches. They're bringing Matty O'Connor, who'd been there before. Major's gone as well before that. And then they bring in Geordie, or they promote Geordie within. You know, they bring in Pat Howard. They've brought in Mike Ford. Phil Blake was suspended for a while on a betting scandal, if scandal was the right word. They bring him back in. I mean, it's really difficult because you don't want to open a team up. But it's now, with Leicester, it's glaringly obvious that there's big issues there because, frankly, I can't see any other team, bar potentially Wasps, that are playing as badly. You know, Bath aren't great either, but at least I think you can see stuff within Bath that will keep them up, like in terms of their defence and their want. But Leicester, my word.
There's a huge vicissitude.
A what?
At Tigers over the last 5 years.
Is that okay?
Our listeners don't know what that means. I don't know what it means.
What is it?
Well, it's a change of circumstances. Huge change of circumstances.
What's the word again?
A vicissitude. You happy with that?
Yeah. Sounds like a
toy from. Yeah, sounds a great
like,
word.
Sounds like something from Anne Summers. What's
that? Yeah. Well, exactly. But yeah, you know, you look at them and you look at Man United in football and where they are right now.
Come on, the Reds. Come on, the Reds. Just keep you down and lose your head. United, here we go. It's Man United. Here we go.
Are you a United fan as well?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You Cough City, mate.
Not anymore,
City,
mate. They're rubbish.
Till we die. We're not. United, they're shite. But, you know, Leicester dominated for years and years and years. They were the big team and they're now the favourites for relegation. And that's with Saracens on minus 400 points.
I got a tweet from Dean Mancini. At least 8 internationals on the Tigers side on Saturday. There was no direction, leadership or passion. Surely this is now down to the coaching of Murphy and no more excuses.
Roberto Mancini's tweeted in.
Mate, well, he knows I'm a Man United fan.
He was Man City.
That's what I mean. Oh, so okay. He's going hard at us. So my thoughts on it are, and Goody mentioned it earlier, look at Saracens, okay? I know there's a load of stuff gone on around that, but look at Farrell. Look at his performance against Bath. That is a man who didn't captain against Bath. It was Brad Barrett. There was a man in Owen Farrell that wanted that so bad that he put in a performance like he did. Absolutely mounting people in the tackle. Getting back up off the floor, like the energy, the desperation that he had for his club, knowing that he wants to keep the club up, the loyalty that he's shown. And again, it's easy to go hard. George Ford, obviously, him and Farrell are the 10 and 12. So they are seen by Eddie Jones, the best coach in the world, as like for like, I'd say, in terms of their ability. Owen Farrell maybe slightly outweighs it. There's talk of George Ford. Is he staying at the club? Is he going to Bristol's?
I've heard he hasn't got any other options.
So you've got that stuff going on. The talk of Manu as well, going to Toronto Wolfpack. There's that stuff rolling around. Ellis Genge as well.
Ben Young's
going to Northampton. There's nothing coming out of Saracens now. It's all and the reason why we're talking about Saracens and Leicester is the like for like in terms of their international quality.
Well, there's nothing coming out because obviously they've got all those investments that they're not going to leave, but that's another story. Four of the Leicester back line started the World Cup final. Ben Young's at 9, George Ford at 10, Manu Tuilagi in the centres, and Johnny May on the wing.
Is it a simple case of people just not being able to get up after such a big high?
No, because if some players can do it at Saracens and other players have come back off the back of a World Cup, and Faf de Klerk, by the way, won the World Cup, he's scoring a try for Sale at the weekend and trying to start fights, like playing the way he plays,
you know,
because he cares.
Francois Lowe, I'd say he was okay for Bath. The difference is with Leicester is these names that we're talking about, and again, we're opening them up. These are guys that are born and bred, you know, apart from George Ford, but he was there as a young lad as well. They're second from bottom. Sarries ain't going to get relegated. They need to play with absolute desperation. Faf de Klerk doesn't need to play with desperation. He's just won a World Cup. Where's his allegiances in terms of with Sale? He gets paid by Sale. I'm sure he loves it there. I'm sure he's well happy there. Yeah. I might be wrong. He ain't going to be living in Sale after, is he, in Manchester? He's probably going to go back to South Africa or whatever, but he's playing like a desperate man. These Leicester players, you want to see absolute desperation. People are calling for Jordan Murphy. People are calling for Aaron Major. People were calling for Richard Cockerell. People were calling for Matty O'Connor. People are calling for Bakewell. People are calling for everyone else. People are calling for the board. For me, it comes down to the players. It doesn't matter. And this is maybe one of the ways that I try to play, and when I played for Scotland and the backs were rubbish and we never won a game, but I made sure that every time I came off the pitch, I tried to keep it under 8 penalties a game. Every time I came off the pitch, that I couldn't have given anything more. I left absolutely everything out there.
Bit different when you're doing 4 minutes a game, though.
Yeah.
Oh, here he is.
Eight penalties for 4 minutes.
I went hard for all 4 minutes.
Good input, Andy Rowe. Good input, Andy Rowe.
I was literally getting deep there.
He was.
Really
but,
deep.
But you look at Leicester as a whole as a club. The owner wants to sell it. The major shareholder wants to sell it. So there's not a passion or a want or a desire from him to put in more money and try and reinvigorate the team. Their recruitment's been shocking.
Dream scenario. Dino.
Yeah, he ain't going back there at the minute.
So dream scenario would be to get Dino back, get Jono back.
Fuck it, I'll go back. I'm joking.
To front up the club and keep Jordy in there 100% and consolidate. There's a big chance at the minute, a bigger than a bigger chance. What's bigger than bigger?
Big, bigger, biggest.
That Leicester are going to get relegated. I just think Leicester gave me everything in terms of a young lad. They gave me a life. And I love that place. And at the minute, you talk about rudderless, try udderless, mate.
I'd like to be udderless.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be the same. Mm. What do you call it? You know, you've got them side flaps up at the top.
Side boob.
It's my pectoral
muscles, mate. It's tough to say it, but we're honest on here. And, you know, the direction's been poor and you have to want to make change.
Bevestitude, I think you call it.
Vicissitude.
I'll tell you what, let's get a t-shirt with vicissitude or whatever it was written on the front of it and see how it
sells. Prostitute. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, there's got to be a want and desire to change it. I'm hearing Steve Borthwick. They're just waiting for whether England can get another coach in to replace him. Then he goes to Leicester. I think Mark Batewell's on his way out without being too blunt about it. You know, Mike Ford's there as Jordan's attack coach. I don't know. I think the leadership of the club hasn't been good enough. In my opinion, they're responsible. Or we just need to sit there and be honest and go, Leicester are a massive club in terms of what they used to achieve, their history, the size of the stadium. Their rugby right now is where it is, and Leicester have just got to get used to being a club that, you know, is like a Newcastle.
It's like a Man United in football. We spoke about it. You don't want to cross codes it. Is it cross code? Mm. Cross pollinate. But that's
why who are you trying to be this week?
It's a good word, Jim.
Thank you very much. Try and cross-constitute the like other sports, but that's what it is. You know, like with Man United, they were in their heyday and it was all about, you know, Alex Ferguson and we're talking about Dino and Jono and these things. That's where Leicester are. I genuinely think they'll come back one day. Gooding might not be here to see it, but they will come back. They will come back. You're training, aren't you, now?
So yeah.
You are. How's that going?
Yeah, good.
So, Wasps lost 38-3 at Exeter.
And why? Why being horrible?
Henry Stapleton wants to know what they need to do to turn things around. Is it coaching, signings, or just the uncertainty surrounding the club in terms of training and financial issues?
Oh, don't worry. They're going to be top four.
I mean,
they're top four this season.
I mean, who's this bloke just throwing anything? Listen, all I'm saying is
Henry Stapleton.
So. Yeah, I mean, just throwing anything. All I'm saying about Wasps is, what Jim asks, Jim gets. What did he say last week?
What?
About Wasps going down to Exeter.
To keep it under 50.
And what did they do? They kept it under 50. 38 points they conceded. No, listen, Wasps are where they are. They're in, you know, in the deep doo-doos. If Leicester weren't so bad, Wasps would be their favourites, their second favourites to go down at the minute. The squad is, they've trimmed the squad this year. They're not spending anywhere near the salary cap.
Why?
Because of trying to refinance the club and not spend as much on budgets. And that's where they're at. The squad is what it is. They've got injuries. They were 10-3 down at half time. Second half, you know, do I see enough fight sometimes? I don't know.
Is that a rhetorical question?
It's just a question, James.
Oh, I didn't know. Like,
I answered it.
Oh, you said you don't know?
Well, that's my answer.
Well, you do know. If you're saying you don't know, that means you don't know.
These are just questions that I'll honestly pose. And, you know, we're seeing stuff in the news. Sopwang is staying for the rest of the year, but has he come and lit the Premiership up? Not yet.
He said he's not happy.
Is he not happy with the way he's playing or not happy with being at Wasps?
I'm only going on what I've heard or what I've read and the rumours. I think he came out and said that he struggled to settle in when he first arrived. And let's be honest, I mean, you are a long way from home. I think from my point of view, looking at Wasps, and again, we joke about things on here. From a serious perspective, I really want to see Wasps do well. They're in Coventry, which is a great place for rugby. The geographical place of the stadium. See, I paused there for a long time trying to get that long word out.
The geographical place of the stadium. Come on, yeah. What do you mean?
So where the stadium is a good part of the, you know, good place in the country. I really like Dai Young. He was me coach for the Bar Bars, but this is where we spoke about it before as well, the state of the game. Watts aren't spending up to the salary cap, but then look what Sale are doing. Look what Bristol's are doing. There's such a big disconnection of teams in terms of what they want to do. They lose their two, arguably their two best players in Elliot Daly to Saracens, Nathan Hughes to Bristol's. Nathan Hughes is playing the rugby of his life. Elliot Daly gets man of the match 2 weeks ago. Sopa Wanger's not happy. Jimmy Gothbert's been injured for a large part of the season. They lost Jake Cooper-Woolley to Sale as well, the cornerstone of their scrum.
Philly LaRue's gone.
Philly LaRue as well.
You think back at a couple of years at Wasps, they had, or two, 3 years, last two, three, 4 years, we've had George Smith, Curtly Beale, Danny Cipriani, Elliot Daly, Philly LaRue. You know, we had world-class players. And, you know, this is the whole debate about what Saracens do.
Hey, hang on. Blame Sarries now.
I'm not blaming Sarries, but clubs that are, you know, we said it last week, collectively, the Premiership clubs lost 50 million quid last year. So you either got a guy that just keeps pumping the money in, or you try and balance the books. And that's currently, you know, Wasps spent up to the salary cap and slightly over it. I think we got caught for 20 grand or something a couple of years ago, and did our best to sign some unbelievable players. Just as I left, all the fucking world stars came in because they wanted to go and win the Premiership, and we were 30 seconds away from winning the Premiership. Nathan Hughes gives a dumb penalty away. Steenson kicks the penalty to level it. Exeter win it in extra time, and then we've not been anywhere near as good that year ever since. So, you know, Dye will be the first to admit that Wasps aren't in a good position results-wise, and, you know, you look at our next game in the Premiership, Quinns at home, an absolute war that's going to be. You know, it'll be 4 years since they moved to Coventry, and it started really well. It continued really well for a year, 2 years, and now there's been a drop-off, and that is something that's worrying. But ultimately, in reality, when they have cut budgets, the squad's thin. You are, like I said about Leicester, you are where your squad is.
Talking of thin.
At the minute, you're talking about me being thin?
No, talking of thin and cutting budgets, when are you going to walk? I don't mean as in walk for exercise. I mean, when are you going to leave your post? Because you keep telling me it's sold out.
It's sold out week in, week out.
Coventry beef, where the cows have been drinking out the canal. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the beef isn't right there. I mean, when are you going to walk?
Walk from what?
Walk from your ambassadorial role and give back to WAS so they can go and sign someone that can pull them from the brink of despair.
Corporately, that side of the business is going pretty well. You know, my Andy Goodsweet is sold out week in, week
out. But this
out.
Is so not a good thing. This
isn't
good.
That's what I'm saying. I put bums on seats off the field.
Are you not embarrassed when you see it full out there and you're thinking, hang on, it's going to be Cov Wasps next year in this stadium? Do you even care? What is it? Is it a derby? It's like Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday.
You're an idiot, Jim. But listen, they are in the mire. Everyone's going to be looking over their shoulder. You see Saracens, you know, and there's still going to be big question marks about how they're affording this year's squad.
Oh, mate, don't keep bringing it back, mate.
If they've broken the salary cap,
it's your fault. Wasps are not performing. Blame it on Sarries.
You look at where Leicester and Wasps are, and I think I tweeted at the weekend.
No.
Leicester, Wasps. And I said, Leicester, Wasps, Irish, Worcester, and Quinns, and Bath are all in the mire.
Mate, Worcester ain't. I don't even know what the mire is, but Worcester ain't. Call it now.
Who's going down?
Who's going down? If you were to put your full head of hair that you have now.
I'd never bet my full head of hair, mate. Okay. I don't bet like you. You're stupid with the bets that you make. I'd say right now, Leicester.
Jim?
For once, I can't argue. I think Leicester are going down. I don't think it's a bad thing for them.
You don't think it's a bad thing for them?
Look at Quinns and look at Northampton when they got relegated. Look at Northampton's the best. And it takes years. It works in cycles. Whatever happens with Leicester now, how are they going to get better? That I can't see. Dino! Bring Dino and Jono back. I can't see how Leicester, in the next 3 or 4 years, even though their academy is very good, how they're going to compete. I don't think George Ford will stay.
I don't think George Ford's got any other options, really, to stay. I think the only other club he could go to is Bristol, and I don't think that they want him, from what I hear. There's rumours of him talking, but I think from what you hear, he's gone back to Leicester now, and he's trying to get his deal done.
And I know we're going to talk about Bristol in a minute.
Bristol's.
How good's Thacker? Got rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, another team that's at risk of relegation, maybe, is Saracens. Could they even make the top four, though? With their big boys back, they look pretty good.
I put a tweet out on Friday. I don't tweet at the weekends. Joking. Top four ? With eyeballs. And I wouldn't say it was a barrel of abuse, but there was, you know, as abusive as my life gets.
They cheat. That's what it was.
They ain't going to make top four.
No.
Absolutely no chance. But there's a chance they could make top six. Their performance against Bath, I don't even think they really got out of third or fourth gear. Just very good with the players that they've got, obviously. I mentioned Owen Farrell. He was ridiculous. Duncan Taylor went off, but he was, up until he went off, it looked like an AC injury, was brilliant. Nick Tonkins, you know, they've just got such good players in terms of, I don't know whether I can say it, I feel bad saying this now with everything that's happened. I think the culture will bring them through. You know, that was such a high profile game against Bath, and they've struggled against Bath. They're not one down there in 4 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. I think the last time was in 2015.
Was that you?
Your Honour.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, yeah, I think Saracens will be fine.
It's interesting because you look at, you see that performance and you think, oh, no way they can get relegated when the big boys are playing. But we've still got to remember that the big boys can't play that much throughout the season. So they're going to have to pick and choose the games. You know, you've got Bristol at home next up in the Premiership for them. And then I can't wait for the game in round 7, Sunday the 29th of December, just after Christmas, Exeter away. After everything that Tony Rose said, they'll pick the big boys to go and play that. The big thing is over the Six Nations. So the week before the Six Nations, they can't, the England boys can't play, and we're presuming they're going to play. That's the crucial time, isn't it? The Six Nations period, when those boys are going to be away. They've got Quinns away the week before the Six Nations. Quinns are going to be in the scrap for everything.
It's a cup final.
Yeah.
If you're Saracens, you pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
With the result for Bath, Tommy Richard has tweeted in saying, do you think Bath need a more experienced director of rugby rather than Stuart Hooper, as at the moment they seem clueless?
Oh, ruthless. People are, it's like football now. Yeah. Look at us. Look abusive. At us go. I don't know. Bath have always been a bugbear of mine. I mentioned it before.
Underachievers.
And you talk about teams that like to spend, you know, and there's a lot of talk around Bristol at the minute. Bath have done that in the past. They've spent a lot of money on some very high profile players. Todd Blackadder came with massive credentials. I think he still was a fantastic coach. Tabai Matson was there, left mid-season as well. That kind of left a little bit of a void. Stuart Hooper's probably taken the team a year before he potentially wanted to. I think they wanted to kind of groom him into that position.
I think they wanted Todd to have another year, finish off his contract, and then Hoops to take over after that. But you're right, it's an inexperienced guy at the helm. Working for Bruce Craig would be interesting, I reckon. But I tweeted about it.
No doubt.
Did you? Yeah.
You're playing Saracens, right? And Saracens are doing what Saracens do. The pitch is a bit muddy. Their defence is quality. They've got the great kicking game. They hit you on, you know, soak up loads of pressure, then hit you and score. And you just keep doing the same thing against Saracens. When it's not working, it ain't going to work. You've got to try something different. And I know we're biased on here. Freddie Burns, friend of the show, good mate of both of ours. Try something different. He's on the bench. You didn't even put him on.
Kick is a balls.
Kick is a balls. Try a chip kick. There's space behind, you know, and they just looked. And it is, this is what Saracens do to teams. And I've been there. I've played against Saracens when, you know, their defence was what they were renowned for. Now they're obviously a quality team across the board. But sometimes as a 10, you're looking at it going, I can't see any holes. I can't see what we can do. We're not going to get over the gain line. You need someone just to try a bit of magic, something. And they were losing that game in the second half, and they were going nowhere. Stuart Hooper, just stick Freddie Burns on. Roll the dice. You got nothing to lose.
I think there is that. To be fair, I was quite impressed with Bath, to be honest, in that game. I think it was always going to be tough. Look at the quality that Saracens got. But I think the thing that I saw is they actually put up a bit of a fight.
Yeah, they're going to be physical, aren't they? But I didn't see anything in attack that you think, but I think you need to be able to break Saracens down.
There's a golfing quality though, isn't there? That's what we said.
Yeah. They were playing one out and battering the door down against the Saracens team, who, by the way, that's their strongest area of their defence, where you're just playing one out runners, isn't it? That's what Saracens live off. So, you know, maybe the inexperience was there from Hooper for not changing it. Yeah, I'm not going to say sack him because he's been in the job about 3 weeks.
Stephen Owen has tweeted us asking if the Bath playing service is worse than the league, and is it acceptable?
I didn't think it was very good, to be honest. One of the best stadiums, I'd say, in Europe. The best place to go and play. And Gloucester had a few issues a couple of
best
years ago.
Best stadium in Europe?
I'd say so.
Bath?
Yeah.
It was a fucking stand that isn't fully there.
I was going to say location-wise in the city. Right. Geographically.
Yeah.
Demographically. Where the stadium is.
Dermatologically.
Whatever it is. Surgically.
They've had a lot of vicissitude.
Vicissitude.
I can't even think. I'm trying to think of some really long words. I was about to say elephant then. I don't know why. long.
Spell it out phonetically. And
The cat went for... Phoebe, the cat went for a walk. Page 2. I like Bath as a stadium. Didn't like changing their change rooms were tiny, but I think it's a great stadium. But I don't think now we're talking about the quality of rugby. We're talking about the quality of players. Pitch is awful. Gloucester, when I was there, we had issues with the pitch. I used to love it. Murrayfield, Wormgate, Maggot Gate.
What, you were walking around the field with your maggot out?
What, maggots who? Maggots holding what gate?
Yeah, I mean, in the Premiership, I think it's the worst pitch, isn't it?
I can't think of another one.
It's right next to the river, which, you know, it's obviously it's a floodplain, et cetera, et cetera. It's so, but again, Bath's issues, they're always trying to talk about a new stadium or owning part of it or whatever they're doing. And they're not going to invest in it fully until they get the permission off the council, which has been an ongoing battle for donkey's years, isn't it?
They just need to get the Hoovers out there to Hoover up.
Dyson,
the,
yes.
See what I've done? Hoovers because of the Dyson man.
Yeah.
Well, Worcester are fourth on the table after beating Sale. Is the job Alan Solomon's doing there going under the radar a little bit?
I'm sorry. Predicted Worcester to go down, which isn't the case. And Steve, who came round to paint the house in the Cotswolds, if anyone's looking to buy, by the way, he's painted it very well, is a Worcester Warriors fan.
Oh, that's where you're living now, is it?
That's where I'm residing for the short term. Comes around, paints the house, and he say, or paints part of the house, great painter. And he said to me, I'm going to struggle with this Fafter guy, whatever his name is, Fafter what? I said, Fafter clerk at nine. He said, you know, some of the players that Sale have got are going to struggle at Worcester. I said, I reckon you boys are going to win. I'm backing you. He said, really? I said, I genuinely think the way that Worcester are going, you could beat Sale. And because I am the Oracle and I know more ruggers and more about ruggers than not many people, I was right. Worcester, and again, you can only go based on what has happened in years gone by. So I think naturally you look at it between them, London Irish, I think it's the easy picks when the season starts. But no, sorry to Worcester. They're settled in Alan Solomon's now as coach, doing well. I just think losing Josh Adams, not really Benteo because he never really played, but Josh Adams, a guy of his quality. Who's the other guy? Bryce Heem?
Bryce Heem, yeah.
Losing Bryce Heem as well, losing a load of forwards. I was like, well, Worcester, where are you going? I tell you what, Donkey Weir, my old microphone head.
Donkey Weir's not getting the good looking 15, is he?
Why?
Well,
would you say you're better looking than Donkey Weir?
100%.
Oh my word. Even with the pictures that have gone around this week, pre-Christmas, after Christmas.
What pictures?
How funny is that? What do you mean, what pictures? It's gone viral.
What pictures are you on about?
The pictures on social media. Oh, these
the ones
playing?
That someone superimposed and photoshopped a pillow under my shirt. That's out of order. Whoever did that? It's out of order.
Mate, no one has spent the time to put
a pillow under my shirt and then just expanded it a little bit.
Do you know why?
It's amazing what people can do with photos now, isn't it?
Do you know why people are calling you the Goat?
What's the Goat?
The greatest of all time. Do you know why they're calling you that? And why people like what you've done to the game of rugby? They don't necessarily like you as a person. They like.
I think most do, Jim.
Well, some do. Some. Is you have made it a reality for your average to probably non-average to absolutely not average at all, human being, man or woman, that they can step onto a rugby field in any kind of condition, any kind of condition ever.
Yeah.
And that they can get out there and they can play this lovely game of rugby. You've given them hope.
I have given them hope, but there's a difference between giving people hope that think they can do it and actually being able to do it, Jim. I mean, just check my stats, mate.
You are a good...
Whereas there's people like you that think they're fucking great.
I've been told I'm great.
Worcester are up in fourth. I think there's a lot of movements going around the table. They're doing well. The game changer was when Dupreer got sent off at the weekend. I wouldn't be getting too carried away if I was Worcester thinking we're a top four team, but I also wouldn't be thinking that they're looking at it going, we're in a relegation battle. So,
well, two teams that have been down in recent years battled out for a 27-all draw at Bristol. London Irish got a result that probably many didn't think was going to happen. What do you guys think of that game?
Topsy-turvy one, wasn't it, Jim?
Didn't see the game, Goody.
Oh. Hoskins gets sent off just before half-time. You're thinking it's all Bristol then. London Irish away from home, 14 men. Bristol at Ashton Gate in front of their crowd, the top of the league. They've got Piatow scoring a worldie of a try. But they showed fight, which a lot of other teams didn't this weekend, and got a deserved 2 points.
And don't worry if you're Bristol's. You've got the best player in the world, Semi Ranrandra.
Oh, my Semi.
There you go. Oh, my Semi. You can put whatever word you want at the end of that, but I'm just going to say Ranrandra is going there. So they are going to be okay.
We're going to turn our attention now to the Champions Cup. And before we take a look at a few of the biggest games ahead this weekend, we can have a chat with a lot of the people's player of the tournament so far. Ulster's John Cooney joins us now. How are you, mate?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me on. And I'm sat here at my rugby pod, Flappy, which I finally got off Darren Cave about 3 months late.
Nice, mate. Well, they are available online. Whereabouts, Andy Rowe? So we have no idea, but you can get them somewhere. So you set the scene for us. So you're in Belfast.
Yeah.
You've got a few floors, apparently, I've heard, in the house.
The Chateau, someone was calling it.
Oh, is that a big one, is it?
It's not too bad. It's a lot cheaper here than, say, Dublin or something. So moved out of my humble apartment, so...
Well, there's a nice house for sale in the Cotswolds if you want. Anyway, let's talk a little bit of Ruggers. Oh, we didn't give you the proper intro. Cooney. There we go. Ulster are flying, mate. Won 5 of 7 in the league. And as we know, we're talking about the Champions Cup. Been flying in there. Just give us a kind of insight into what it's like at Ulster and how happy everyone is.
Yeah, it's been really good. I was away in the summer and coming back into that environment, it's an environment that everyone works very hard for each other, and some of the work people have done over the last year and a half with the coach and staff we have has been incredible. And I think when everyone works so hard, it's easy to kind of get involved in that. And you can see in some of the games that we've played for 80 minutes the last few, it's gone down to the wire. So it would be obviously nicer if we finished those games a little bit earlier, but I think it's kind of testament to the character we've built and the kind of quality we have and strength and depth now with young players coming through as well.
And we're talking about how good Ulster are now. Friend of the show, Darren Cave, retired in the summer. And now you're saying that you're a better team. Why are you being so horrible? Because Cave is retired.
I know, sure. We've been slagging McCluskey. He's kind of playing a bit like Cavey at the moment with his hands. So, yeah, we've kind of moulded him into a bit of Cavey now with Luke Marshall as well. So, yeah, I don't think Cavey's too happy with how well we're going.
When you say that, is that because they're shelling balls everywhere or they're just crowbars? Because yeah, he did both, didn't he?
Shovel hands from Cavey, that's what we used to call him.
I'd say spent a lot of time. I had about 4 beers with the great Rory Best. What a lovely bloke he is, by the way. Obviously, felt like I knew him, but he's left a big void as well. So what's it going to be like? Have they spoken about how it's going to be with a kind of slightly different identity with someone like Rory not being around?
Yeah, obviously, he's a massive leader, and he was for years with Ulster, and somebody who probably didn't get enough silverware for the brilliant captain he was, but with that we've got a lot of players, even taking say somebody like Jack McGrath, an ex-Lion, and players like him coming into the squad which bring a lot of leadership, and it's probably something now that all us players have to kind of step up and all be individual leaders for the squad. And it's actually a very young squad. I'm actually one of the nearly the oldest now in the back line, and that shows kind of the innocence of youth we have, but also how enthusiastic people are. So it's definitely a role that a lot more of us players are taking on.
Did Bestie say anything before we left? I love how I'm saying Bestie like we are best mates. Did he say anything before we left to the group? You know, his final kind of speech. Did he leave any wise words?
It was a pretty disappointing semi-final result for us, so I'd say he's pretty disappointed. But one thing he always said was, you never always get what you think you deserve. You get what you work for. So, like I said, with that kind of ethos we have at the moment is probably coming back from him, and like I said, it was a disappointing end for him, so I think he kind of just had a few beers and kind of suffered in the corner.
Let's talk about you then, mate. Your top point scorer in the Guinness Pro 14 at the minute, and a lot of people, as Andy Rose said, have you down as the current player of the tournament so far in the Champions Cup. It couldn't really go much better for you, could it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it at the moment, and the last few games have gone well for us. Like I said, the two in Europe, I had about 10 or 12 mates over for the Bath game, so it was a good night out after that. And yeah, I've just enjoyed it, coming from a bit of more of a football background, so I've kind of utilised those skills a bit more in the last few games. So yeah, I think like anything, when you get the bit of the rub of the green and you get that confidence in a game, it's quite easy to look good, and I've just been happy with how it's going. But I've said before, sport's quite fickle, and I've been on the other end of it where it's not going really well. So yeah, I'm just hoping to go well again this week and then the week after that as well.
And let's go back to that Claremont game. Obviously a massive performance and a massive result, but let's go back to your individual bit of brilliance with the breakdown, the blind side, the chip over. Did you chip the ball over Racker because you were shitting yourself about getting absolutely smashed by him, because he's a unit, isn't
he? Yeah, that was it basically. So during the week we kind of had a preset play that if I did make a line break, all I could see was Racker about to bowl me over if I did. And Dwayne Peel was like, whatever you do, don't chip it if you make a line break. I was like, yeah, I feel you. So first thing I do when I make the line break is I chip it over the top. I've done it many a time and kicked the ball away, but this time I was able to get the ball back. But yeah, all I was thinking all week was if I see Racket, chip it over him.
You mentioned Dwayne Peel back there. I was on the bar bars with him. What a bloke. And again, we've had you on, I think, last season as well, and we've now gained another 2 million listeners. So it'd be good for them to hear you just give a few lines on Dan McFarlane and the coaching team, Dwayne Peel back as well, in terms of what they've brought to this Ulster team.
I think it's working the other way around. A lot of PR I've been getting off you, even with the end of the show last week. I was pretty chuffed to get in the head of Francois Hougaard.
Oh, very true. We'll come on to that.
There's a reason for that as well.
We forgot about him. He's a bit of a spice boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll play. Maybe we'll pick him on the wing. But yeah, Dan McFarlane, he's going well, isn't he?
Good. He's gone all shy now. He's gone red.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. Dan, I had him in Connacht when I was there. And he's a coach that studied a lot of psychology. So I think he did his his master's in the amygdala, which is kind of your sense of belonging in your brain. And it's definitely something he really drives within the squad. And you do feel really part of it. And every single player within the squad has a role to do. And I think that's a really important thing to have in a squad, because sometimes people are disappointed they're not getting picked or stuff like that, people with injury. So he's really good at making everybody feel part of it. And we even have a name for our the lads who wear the bibs on the 15. So it makes Evan feel important. So I think that's kind of been the main part of him, is how personal he is. And as a player, that's something that I really like, to be able to speak to coach.
What's that? What are those players called? The bin juice? Is it the Darren K 15?
I'm getting the gauge that I'm getting a gauge that it's not going to be as derogatory as we're saying here.
Can you tell us what they're called? Or
they're called the Wheelers at the moment. But last year was the Game of Thrones. What are the people who are trying to attack them? And I never really watched Game of Thrones.
Mate, I never even have time to shower, mate, with four kids, so yeah, I don't get time to watch TV.
Yeah, well, it used to be named after them.
We'll call them the Darren K 15, because that's all he ever did with the bibs.
KV was king of them anyway.
Mate, let's get a bit of chat about Billy Burns as well. And again, we've spoken about it before, but it'd be just great to chat about it more, because he's been fantastic again for you boys this season. So what's it like to play with him? We also know what he's like off the field, but kind of on the field.
Yeah, it's been tough recently because he's been carrying a bit of a niggle at the moment. So my back's pretty sore from carrying him. I had to do all the kicking for him and stuff. And I've barely done a kickoff, a drop off in my life. So I'm trying to rush it during the week and try and learn how to do a kickoff. So yeah, I've been giving him a lot of slagging about that, but yeah, he's brilliant. He is. He's a really good communicator. Something that probably Goody would understand. It's quite difficult sometimes for a 10 to be able to manage both the forwards and the backs. And it's probably one of his main strengths, is how easy it is to hear him in a game. And he's also obviously got a brilliant tactical kicking game, coming from a footballing background as well. And he's still very young. You always think he's a lot older than he is, and he probably acts a bit older than he is. But yeah, he's a great bloke, and he's also a great player.
He's a lot more mature than his brother off the field, let me tell you that. But
yeah.
So he's obviously gone over there and he's settled in now. He's playing really well. He's Irish qualified. You're playing really well, and there's obviously a change of coach. And I know there was disappointing things for you over the summer within Ireland. But with the change to the head coach now, with Farrell taking over, have you had much conversation with him? Are you hopeful? I know Brian O'Driscoll said last week about that you were ahead now of Conor Murray at 9. I know you're probably not going to say, yes, I am, but have you had any conversations that you two could be playing a bit more together at international level as well?
I've heard nothing from an Irish perspective. I think we might have a camp, and well, I'm saying we, I'm not in anything yet, but if I am in the squad in a few weeks, I think there's a couple of day camp. And obviously the way Billy's been playing, it's always brilliant if you're playing with another 10 who's playing quality, and you know somebody a lot better. So when you're in camp and stuff, it's a bit easier to find them and stuff like that. And yeah, like I said in previous times, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because I know how quickly it can change. So I think it's kind of staying even keel when it's going well, trying to stay kind of within yourself, and when it's not going well, doing the same. So like I said, I just want to keep playing well. So next week and this week's another opportunity.
Oh, mate, well, don't worry. Either way, you've been picked in at a 15, which has gone viral as well, gone viral, the fit 15, and Goody picked you. You mentioned it there. So Francois Hogarth, who I would have potentially had as well, he drives a white Lamborghini, well, he did, around Cheltenham. I don't know if he still drives it around there now. But how was that? Much interaction? Do you get many more followers on social media off the back of that or not?
I think I might have, yeah. There's a few people following me, and my brother was probably the most chuffed out of all.
Does he look similar? Oh, is he? Does he look similar to you or not?
More of a Goody version of me.
Oh, whoa, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? Taller, good looking, better hair, or just you know, a bit more rotund?
Better Barnett and better rig.
Mate, talking of Barnett's, how often do you get your hair cut? I used to get my hair cut every 3 or 4 weeks. Now it's like, I don't know whether it's the stress or what, it's slightly thinning, so I don't go as often. How often do you get your hair cut?
I'm only every 2 weeks.
Only every two weeks.
You need to get some kids down you, and, you know, only every 2 weeks. Unbelievable.
Oh, some people, Craig Gilroy would be every week. He's worse.
Really?
Speaking of good-looking lads,
yep.
George Clooney. George Clooney, rather. Has that nickname stuck that Jim gave you, or are people still calling you that?
It actually has. Like I said, a lot more commentators and stuff. I don't know whether they're saying it by accent or whether they've heard from the pod. But yeah, it has stuck. And like I said before, it's a little bit awkward because my mum pretty sure fancies them. So it's quite awkward.
So you got some decent nicknames then, haven't you? You got the slot machine as well. That's one. Another one from
you lads. I think, again, my friends are all big fans of the pod. And I think they wrote into you or something asking, would you have me on it a couple of years ago or last year? And they came up with that nickname.
And here we go. Now you're sat in your home in your chateau wearing a rugby pod cap. Is there any other nicknames knocking about the Ulster team?
It's a good question. Oh, obviously the Bangor Bulldozer from McCluskey.
Mate, not obviously. What, say again?
Sorry, the Bangor Bulldozer. So that's where he's from in Northern Ireland, and he's obviously a big bulldozer.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know whether that was code.
Oh, yeah, I was hoping it was code for something else.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
But I'm actually over this weekend. So part of me putting you in the Fit 15 last week was, well, you're a good-looking guy. You know, obviously, where to go out in Belfast. Myself and producer Tim, we're over with BT Sport on Friday night. Where can we go? And where are you going to line us up with?
I look forward to it. You'll be tucked up in bed. Saturday. Gone on Saturday.
Yeah, I've got to fly him to the kids, mate. Missus and the kids. So Friday's the big one. I'm telling the missus I'm going to bed at 9, and then boom, 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 we're out.
Lads, say. Talk to us about the game coming up then against, I would say, mighty Harlequins, but with everything that's gone on in recent weeks, we'll just call them Quins. You've obviously got a lot of momentum in Europe now. How are you approaching this one?
Yeah, they had a good win on Sunday against Gloucester, and they probably have a shorter turnaround, only 6 days, but it was a good win for them, and it was obviously close at the end of the game. And for me personally, against Danny Kerr, it's going to be a great battle, and he's a player who's been brilliant over the last couple of years. So I think with Harlequins, they have a lot of good individuals, and they've John Marler and Sinclair coming back from England duty. So they are a team that, if they go well at the very start of the game, and they have that win against Bath already, so they already have 4 points. So if they get their noses up early, they're going to be hard to beat. So yeah, something we've done well the last few games was start well. And even against Bath and Clermont, we started well in those first 30 minutes. So it's important that we do that again. And depending on the weather, the last few games have been pretty rotten with the weather. So we'll see what it's like on Saturday.
Let's hope it's dry. So anyone that you want me to hang out to dry in the commentary on Saturday. So I'm probably going to give you man of the match, I'll be honest, straight away. Who is there any nicknames, anything you want just airing? Now's your moment.
I always do enjoy a bit of abuse from McCluskey, shooting McCluskey at 12. So whatever you can sag him about his handling at the moment, he's struggling to catch the ball. So
he's having a head.
It's really gotten his head, because he's the first person when he's going well to slabber or slag other people. So he got player of the year last year, and he's walking around like he was Conor McGregor. So for me, it's anytime you can give him a bit of abuse is brilliant.
Mate, the poor lad, mate. Hey, this is going out to 10 million people and they're all going to know that he's got hands like tits. So that's fine.
And then finally, just give me one place to go Friday night.
Go into the Christmas market and get a few of those big steins.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a bad shout. And then where's the swanky bar where... You know, sort of VIP area that, you
know, oh, God. Where I don't have to queue.
The laws are a bit different over here, so.
Oh, there's a bar, or there's a club, or there's a kebab house. Which one?
For your old friend, you won't find her over here, I don't think.
Oh, she's gone, is she?
Possibly.
Titty Von Tramp's gone.
I don't want to hear about that.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Cody, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks very much for coming on, John. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.
Cheers, Bob.
Good luck on the weekend.
See you Friday. See you Saturday. I know where you live. I'm going to come stalk you.
I can't wait.
Top lad.
Good lad.
He's a top lad.
It's nice, isn't it? His mates listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Cooney Brigade.
They buried him.
Yeah, I didn't get why they're burying him.
Well, no, they buried him saying, can you call him the slot machine? He calls himself that, doesn't he? I remember we had the conversation with him now. Good lad. Playing exceptionally well. No coincidence that he played at Leinster. They won the Guinness Pro 14. He played at Connacht. They won the Guinness Pro 14. And he's now playing at Ulster. And they are doing exceptionally well. And it's actually big licks from Brian O'Driscoll to say he's ahead of Conor Murray.
That's another legend that said I said the same last week, potentially. I didn't want to go all out and say it.
What do you mean another legend? You putting yourself in the same bracket as Brian O'Driscoll?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm in the O'Driscoll bracket. I'd say I'm the one below.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say if you look around rugby legends, you've got O'Driscoll, O'Connell, Wilkinson, Carter, McCaw, then you got us.
Who's us? I'm nowhere near that.
Yeah, you're nowhere near
and
that.
Nor are you, Jim.
Then it's the next band down. It's like tiered, isn't it? You got like tier one.
So would you be tier one, do you think?
No, I reckon I'd be tier two.
Six. Like
top tier of tier
six.
Two.
Tier two.
Tier six.
You're top of tier two.
Jesus. Deluded.
Champions Cup. Obviously, we talked about Ulster Quins. What are your thoughts on that game this weekend?
Oh, they absolutely smoke them.
Why are you being horrible to Quins?
Oh, I'm not. I mentioned before, like Ulster, everything that, you know, they kind of stand for now. We had Cooney on. It's actually really nice that we get a player of his profile to come on the podcast in a big week. So we do respect that, and we respect him for that. You know, Ulster are a good team. I think you look at kind of what they did against Clermont, and a lot of the Champions Cup comes down to these back-to-back weekends, isn't it? Like, you know,
it's moving weekend, isn't it?
Exactly.
And, you know, you look at Quins, their away record is shocking. I don't think they've won a game away in the Champions Cup since 2014. And I know they've not been in it every year, but as a stat...
Nice. Is that yours or Ulster? Tim's?
No, it's mine actually.
Really?
Mine,
okay,
yeah. Because I played in the game. They beat Wasps. I think that was the last one. But yeah, listen, their away record and form's been shocking. Conversely, Jim, do you know what that means?
Yeah, they're shoes that you got.
Okay.
The old school ones.
Conversely, Ulster's form at home is phenomenal over the last year, 18 months. You know, they're in control of that group now, aren't they? So I can only really see an Ulster victory. It might be scrappy. Quins may rock up and they've got a chance. They beat Bath in round two. Had they lost that game, they were gone. It's a must-win game for Quins, but Ulster in control of the group 2-2, and I can only see an Ulster victory.
Out of all the Champions Cup games at the weekend, the Northampton-Leinster one, that's the big one.
Do you really think?
I think it's a big one in terms of if you're a Gallagher Premiership fan as well.
I think there's two big games this weekend.
Munster-Sarries?
Yeah, and that one. And it will dictate. Sarries could get knocked out, not fully knocked out, but if they go there and win...
I think Sarries will beat Munster.
Depends what team they pick. Again, it comes down to the amount of games that these boys can play. How much has Mark McCall planned ahead for that? If they go in and win this game, I think they'll qualify. But yeah, Leinster coming over to Saints is huge.
Unbeaten.
Beating Glasgow at the weekend, didn't they? At Scotstoun.
Tough place to go and play.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Leinster have got European pedigree coming out of their ears.
They'll be thinking as well, this is a big year for them.
They'll be thinking, your man when Naira Vora gets it, that's all I'm saying. Northampton will be tough to beat there, but Leinster are favourites in that one.
Speaking of Northampton, I caught up with their newly retired captain and former England captain Dylan Hartley recently for our superfan subscription service at patreon.com, and we thought we'd play you a quick clip of that now just to give you a little taste of what's on offer.
Pod, 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 pod.
Rugby pod.
Now you're retired, how's that treating you? Because you've jumped into that pretty quickly, haven't you?
Yeah, good. It's a strange old feeling. It's quite liberating in a way. It's a strange, you know, they talk about your identity being stripped, but I never really saw myself being identified by rugby. But unfortunately, that's what I've done, and that's what I am. So people do see you as that, and because you've done it every day for the last 16 years, it is your identity. But because I've probably had that many kind of ups and downs in my career, to me, retirement is just like another little challenge, like getting back from a ban or getting back from an injury. It's not something that is phasing me. You know, it's just something that's not going to be easy, but it should be a bit of fun along the way. And, you know, with sport, with all the boys like Jim and Goody or whoever you talk to, sport has got an end date. You don't retire at 65 in sport. Like sport, you're lucky year on year if you get to go again. So when you start the game, you go, I always said, oh, if I get to about 35, I'll be pretty happy. So I'm 33 now, 18 months short of 35. So I knew it was coming. So mentally, that is easier to adjust to, I reckon, because again, you kind of plan, and I've always kept a foot in, you know, life outside of rugby in terms of whether that be business or, you know, commercial activity, trading off being a rugby player. I've always tried staying pretty active in that space, you know, days off, evenings, without compromising kind of recovery, performance, all that sort of stuff. But towards the end, that's when I basically had the honest conversation with myself, and, you know, the old look in the mirror type thing. I was prioritizing my life after rugby because I had an eye on it, and because I wasn't getting what I wanted from my knee, that's what made the decision easier.
Pod, 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 pod.
Rugby pod.
There you go. Just head to patreon.com/therugbypod if you like the sound of that, and sign up to get loads of extra interviews and features for just a few quid a month. Should we have a look at some social media questions?
Oh, do you not want to look at the Challenge Cup? Hashtag always Edinburgh playing Wasps. Good.
Yeah, yeah, back to back.
You want to talk about it?
Up in Edinburgh this weekend.
There you go.
They are.
Edinburgh just beat Munster. Should we talk about that?
Oh, it's Munster third team or under 16s, I think.
Oh, there
it
we
was,
go. So there we go. Wasps should win comfortably then.
I'm going to say Edinburgh win at home, and then the week after Wasps win at the Ricoh Arena.
Double win for hashtag, always.
All right, social media questions. Quite a few people have said they're really missing Jim's Jap, so can we maybe bring that back in a slightly different form, Jim?
Interestingly.
Yes, James.
About Japan Through Jim's Eye, also known as Jim's Japs Eye. Goody said to me after a couple of Guinnesses that was one of his favourite segments. Do you remember saying that?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, we need to peel it back. We need to bring it to what I've done, peel it back.
Peel back to the See the Japs Eye.
Exactly, yeah. See what I've done? I'm quite busy at the minute, I'll be honest. I'm writing the Christmas song. So that's taking...
You're writing a Christmas song?
Yes.
He's in studio.
For the podcast or just for general release?
Well, for the podcast, but then it will be obviously naturally into general.
What genre is the song?
Genre?
Is
Christmas.
Yeah. What genre?
Well, what do you say?
Genre.
Right, Frenchman.
Not John. Genre.
Is it going to be a rap or is it going to be...
It's Christmas genre.
Just remember what you did last time. That rap was embarrassing.
I missed the beat.
Your kids are a couple of years older now.
You've got a really big part in this Christmas song. I'm telling you now.
I ain't bothered about singing.
Andy Rowe, you're going to hold the beat. that I'm sorting out at the minute, you've got a really important part.
When he says he's busy and he hasn't got much time, he's like, you've got too much time on your hands if you're thinking about this sort of thing, Jim.
No, I'm just doing my job properly.
Just be a parent.
No, I'm just doing my job properly.
Okay.
Okay? So Jim's Jap site is gone until the new year. Christmas song is coming out, and all I'm saying is hold on to your Christmas crackers. That is all I'm saying, because it's going to be a cracker.
Oh, dear.
The Fit 15, people are wanting to know the next entry into that, forwards and backs.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go down the line from 9 to 15, and I've done Cooney at 9. I've got my 10 ready. Jim, who did you go last week?
I went for Dmitry Sarzeski and Hooker.
Yep.
It's tough. There ain't... I can't think
forwards
of...
Forwards are ugly.
I can't think of many props that I would be like, if my wife ran away with you, I'd understand. There's one that I would still be disappointed if she ran away with, but I'd kind of get it because he's a bit of a cult hero and we're talking of Leicester. And the only reason that he's in this Fit 15, Martin Castrogiovanni, is because he was seen in Vegas on a balcony with Ibrahimovic. That's legendary to me. So if this is how I'm basing it, who my wife would run away with. Now, if she ran away with him, I get it. I'd be like, you want a better life. You want to go to Vegas and you want to go on a balcony with Ibrahimovic. So that's it's a way of getting to Ibrahimovic. I get it.
It's also a way of getting away from you.
Of course. Yeah. Either or. So I'm going Martin Castrogiovanni. He don't look great now. Long hair, and you think I've got a thin spot. I mean, get your table plate out.
Jim, yours is bad. Yours has gone a lot thinner than last week,
yeah.
Hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
There's no dust in there today, is there?
Come on, then.
Fly half's an easy one. The best looking fly half to ever have graced the game of rugby. I can't put myself in there. So it has to be Dan Carter.
Dan Carter, of course.
So easy. Outfit. I mean, you know, I'd try and take him out on a date if I could. A beautiful specimen. And he's also a model for Louis Vuitton.
Is that Louis Vuitton?
Louis Vuitton or Louis Vuitton.
Okay.
Or as normal people call it, Louis Vuitton.
You used to have a Louis Vuitton bag, didn't you? Was it a real one or a fake one?
It was a real Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
That's my Louis Vuitton.
And a Louis Vuitton.
But yeah, so Dan Carter, the Fit 15, fly half, and captain probably.
Ian Mullen has tweeted in, who would fare better in I'm a Celebrity Jungle, Joe Smith, Eddie Jones, or Warren Gatlin?
Joe Smith. Comfortable being around animals.
Cats.
He knows what to do with animals, and I think that's a big part of being in the jungle. I'm not too sure about I'm a Celebrity. I know Haskell's taken a bit of hate on social media.
Yeah, I've seen this. I haven't watched it, but I go into the office every day, and boys are like...
Every day?
Well, most weeks I go into the office. And the boy's like, oh, your mate's not doing well this week. He's ruffling a few feathers. He's not going down well.
Get it, feathers?
Yeah. And I think it's just Haskell being Haskell. Alpha male. And we used to call him 1 in 10. You throw 10 gags out there, one will be funny, but you're just fucking relentless. And I think that's why he's not being liked.
Chris Jones has tweeted, what are your thoughts on the proposed British League due to start in 2022 that was unceremoniously blurted out by the incompetent Ospreys board last week?
Oh, God. It's messy at Ospreys, eh?
Oh.
The whole Alan Clark situation where he walks and I've got a message here.
It's a matter of personal conduct or something, isn't it?
Yeah, so I looked up personal conduct and what I found in my dictionary was... It's a noun, a set of precepts that one individual tries to observe in daily life. For example, precepts of preserving human life. I don't think that's the issue. Speaking truthfully. Has he lied? See what I've done there? So that's telling me it's speaking truthfully, but then I'm asking the question of what the opposite of that is. Or being nice to people. Has he been horrible to people?
Mm. Why have you been horrible?
Well, no, I'm asking the question.
Rhetorical question?
That's me reading the thing. So when I Googled personal conduct meaning, that's what came up. So something's happened at Ospreys. Something big has happened, and there's something about a British league due to start in 2022. Is that the thing to do with CVC? They need to do something because there's a few.
I don't think they do.
Not for the Gallagher Prem.
We don't.
I think something's going to change. I think CVC have got something up their cloaks.
Lorcan Duffy has tweeted, have either of you ever been offered any coaching positions? Is it something you would ever think about doing full-time ever?
Oh, Lorcan. Interesting. Barbar's last week. I've got a bit of appetite to get back into a team. I'll be honest.
To do what, Jim?
Not necessarily coach.
Be the clown?
I don't know. Culture, driver, standards, deliverer.
Oh, my. That's like me being a nutritionalist. Fucking eat what you want, boys. Do what you want. Rock up when you want. You're joking,
Jim. So that fits in with culture, though. Everyone will be happy. Interestingly, I nearly nearly, very nearly, took the Edinburgh job with Cockers before I decided to come on here and talk about bushes and dissecting stuff with open cloths. I mean, what the hell has my life come to? I could be a credible coach right now.
You'd have been sacked by now.
Very true.
Goody?
Yeah, not where they put a contract in front of me and said, there you go, sign it. But yeah, I've had conversations. But coaching is one of those things that it's now fully 7 days a week. You give up your life more than you do as a player. You have to be obsessed with it. And I love ruggers, but you've got to be in the right position in terms of your family life as well. As a coach, you know you're getting sacked at some point. And we were chatting about it earlier, we went to the Hambo dinner, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were chatting with various people around the game, mentioned no names, but a good mate of mine who's a coach always says to me, he goes, I really don't like it when I see you. I said, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. I said, why? He said, well, you talk about rugby and you're never stressed about it. He said, you want to fucking try being a coach? It's horrible. Your hair falls out. I said, mine fell out when I played. It won't fall out again.
Stress. You get stress walking up the stairs. Does he not understand this?
It's different. That's a different type of stress.
Okay, fine. Physical.
Yeah.
Physical.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just my breathing and all sorts. But yeah, it's a stressful job and it's 7 days a week, all consuming. And would I want to do it full time? Not right now.
Mark Long has tweeted, and what did you guys make of Perry Schoeman lifting up the post protector so Munster couldn't score against the base of the post?
Schoeman just re-signed Edinburgh, hashtag always. Hell of a week for him. I don't know what the laws or the rules are. I mean, that law frustrates me a little bit. I don't think you should be able to put the ball at the bottom of the post and that be a try. I think you've got so much of a big area where else to score. That shouldn't be the rules or the laws, but it is. Rules are rules, and Schoeman obviously knows the rules, knows the laws. And it's like, no, I'm going to change the laws right here, right now. I'm going to lift the post up so you ain't touching against the post and I can tackle you. And nothing was done about it. So we've seen it happen a couple of times before. We just mentioned it. Someone lobbed the post protector out the back.
I think someone in New Zealand just ripped it off the post and lobbed it in goal area. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Mitre 10 Cup or something. So yeah, interesting. You may see other players doing it now, but then it will soon get changed and a referee will penalise you for doing it or something like that, probably.
Finally, last question is from at Waldo Fizz. What's your favourite cheese?
What?
Favourite cheese? Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese?
Yeah.
That's not a cheese.
That's nacho cheese, Jim.
Oh, not your cheese. I thought I said nacho cheese.
Yeah, well, I did. It's, you know, just messing around, James.
Oh, okay.
Favourite cheese?
Knob cheese. I don't know, God.
What about hot camembert?
Camembert, I was going to say camembert be up there.
I don't really have cheese.
You don't?
Not. When would I eat cheese?
Before dinner,
after dinner.
You
put it in a blender or not?
In a sandwich? Ham and cheese sandwich?
Yeah, I suppose that
on
cheese.
On a cracker?
Yeah.
What cheese, though? Because you can put Jarlsberg in there. You can put
Somerset
extra,
Blue.
Yeah, you can put extra mature cheddar cheese. You can put
idea.
Mild
I
cheddar.
Like them ones on the board. You know, when you go to these posh dinners and there's loads of different ones on the board.
Yeah. So which one do you like?
No idea.
Munster cheese.
Blue vein cheese.
Blue vein cheese. That sounds nice. Jesus.
I ain't into blue cheeses.
Oh, yeah.
Blue vein cheese.
No. Blue cheese, horrible. Makes you feel sick.
Right, well, let's finish things off with the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is brought to you this week by Budgie Smuggler UK, who have actually sent us some Christmas presents. Do you want to open those now, or do you want to... Don't wait till Christmas.
You don't open Christmas presents now.
I just saw them there and I wanted to get them.
Time's that hard? You want your Christmas presents early?
I always see a Christmas present and I want to open it. You know,
wait till nearly Christmas.
Well, it is coming up to Christmas, which means the silly season is about to begin and it's a great time to be smuggling. They've got great wear and the likes of Billy Vunipola, David Pocock, Kurt Lee Beale were all wearing them at the World Cup. They're great as Christmas presents or stocking fillers, and a limited number of the Rugby Pod Smugglers are still available as well. And there's a range of Christmas jumpers on sale as well as the Smugglers. So head to budgiesmuggleruk.com to check out the full range. And if you enter the code
pod,
you get free shipping as well.
Woohoo.
Yeah, let's start with the good. And we're going to start in a fairly obscure place for rugby unions. Madagascar. Not the movie, but the place.
Yeah, I saw it.
Madagascar. 22,000 people turned up to watch the Madagascar Mackies beat the Nigeria Black Stallions. 63-3. Rugby is going global.
I nearly went to Madagascar last year.
I know, you said, but you bottled it.
No, we couldn't get sign off.
Okay.
Couldn't get the security.
You should have gone there. 22,000 people. What else was good this week? Saracens We'll put them in the good. Business as usual. The big fellas are back. All their World Cup stars. Farrell was imperious. The salary cap may have been broken in previous years. It's probably broken again this year, but their form on the field on Friday night was outstanding. What else was good this week? Zebra. We'll go to the Guinness Pro 14. They smashed the Dragons at Rodney Parade. 39-12 for their first win of the season.
Sack Naz.
I know the Dragons were missing a few players that were playing with Wales, but Zebra, good on you, boys. We'll stay in the Guinness Pro 14, and we'll go to Leinster. Their second team winning at Scotstoun. At beating Glasgow. They just march on, don't they? How good are Leinster? Ridiculous. We'll go over to the top 14 in France. Bordeaux winning 34-30 at Racing in the La Défense Arena. Two tries for Semi. He is ridiculous. Also, Cordero. Ridiculous footwork.
It was excellent, wasn't he?
Yeah, but because they signed Stuart Hogg and they don't cheat the salary cap, they had to let go another player. So they let Cordero go to get Stuart Hogg.
So Sarri's fault again.
Well, Sarri would have kept both of them and given them a house and investment. So they did the right thing by the game. Anyway, Cordero's over there tearing up trees for Bordeaux. Beating Racing away is always pretty special. They move up to second in the league, or stay second in the league. I'm going to... Bit of a surprise here for you guys.
What?
In the good this week. Toulon.
Yeah. They got rid of their owner. Is that what's...
Oh, they did. Bougelaud's gone, but that wasn't part of it. They won away at Pau. And Sergio Parisse scored.
There he is.
Yes. Yeah. It's not often Toulon have won away from home, and to win away at Pau is pretty good. So well done them. Montpellier as well. They stay in the good again this week, dismantling Lyon, who are top of the top 14, 33-8 at home. Montpellier in some decent form in France. We'll go back to the Premiership. And Exeter, back to their best. They pulled Wasp pants down. Yes, I did say it, Jim. In the second half, O'Flaherty played exceptionally well. Bit of an injury worry for him now, but he scored a lovely try in the second half if you're an Exeter fan. And they look back to their imperious best in the second half. What else was good this week? Let's go to Northampton and the Saints. They tore Leicester Tigers a new one. Naya Rivaro was huge. Furbank, Hutchinson, my man crush, and Proctor were all outstanding. Matt Proctor, 13 carries, 142 metres made, 9 defenders beaten, and 2 tries on his Premiership debut.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
So he was outstanding. Saints, top of the Premiership. They've won 6 of their last 7 against Leicester now, so they're in good form. We'll stay in the Premiership, and we'll mention London Irish. We talked about them earlier, getting a draw away at Bristol's. Myler kicking the leveller. Straight in front of the sticks from about 40 out, but big cojones to do that. They were down to 14 men after Hoskins got sent off. Showed some battle, showed some fight. Outstanding from them. That's in the good. But the good this week doesn't go to any of those teams or peoples. It goes to 2 very special rugby union players who have come to the end of their career. Shout Brits and Rory Best have had incredible careers. Great characters, great servants for the game. Bowed out for the Barbarians on Saturday down in Cardiff in Wales to absolute stars both on and off the field. Anything you'd want to be in a rugby player, you'd want part of those two in it. So outstanding men, outstanding rugby players. The good this week goes to Rory Best and Shout Brits.
Two good friends.
Well said, Jim. Well said. The bad. Where are we going to start? Well, we mentioned them earlier. Leicester Tigers. Just featuring in the bad too much at the minute. They were woeful against Saints, losing 36-13. They are in the doo-doos at the minute. What else was bad? Wasps, second half horror show. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
What?
Wasps, second half horror show.
Honest man.
Against Exeter. 10-3 down at half time, lost 38-3, just not good enough. What else was bad this week? Alex Donbrandt's rig. And that's coming from me. He played exceptionally well for Quins, didn't he? But stood on the ice box with his top off.
While Joe Marler was giving him like a lap dance. I don't even know.
Why have you been horrible to Joe Marler for? Wouldn't you like him?
Well, I'm a dancer myself, so I kind of know.
Jim, I've seen you dance. Shocking.
Do you think I'm a shocking dancer, genuinely?
Yeah, genuinely. Yep.
Why is it when you've had a few drinks and, you know, you let your guard down and...
You think you can dance?
Yeah.
Mm. Why is it when you come on the podcast and you think you're a great player?
I don't. I just go on what I'm told.
Sorry. Yeah, so Don Brandt's rig, still wobbly. But what a player. But the bad this week has to go to the Ospreys. They sacked Alan Clark. They sent people, including players like James Hook, to the Guinness Pro 14 Media Day where they couldn't say anything. Alan Clark was sacked. Then he wasn't sacked. He's left because of a matter of personal conduct. The club haven't been honest and open. Left people in the dark. Put people in front of cameras that just couldn't say anything. So put them in awkward positions. The PR for the club has been shocking this week. And they finished it all off with a defeat to the Cheetahs at home, 18 points to 13. A really bad week for the Ospreys, so they are the bad. And then finally, the ugly. Three bits of ugly this week. First, Ollie Hoskins shoulders the head of Chris Vui for London Irish against Bristol's. Secondly, Jean-Luc Dupria shoulders the head of Graham Kitchener. Wayne Barnes gives him his marching orders. Stupid, really. Pretty ugly. But the ugly thing for me this week, he's back in it again. He just needs to go away and stop being an absolute chump.
Buster ain't doing anything.
Israel Folau, again at it. He's not only suing the Australian Rugby Union still. It was at $10 million. He's now gone up to $14 million because he said he was going to be captain at some point. I mean, how fucking deluded are you, Israel? Shut up and stop thinking and dreaming that you were going to be Australian captain and then suing them for another $4 million.
They're in mediation talks at the minute.
Ridiculous.
This week.
Yeah.
That makes me think there's going to be some sort of payment to Folau.
But it's crazy. The world is mad. You say something like that and some of the other comments that you've made.
And you get paid.
About the bushfires and you're getting a payout. Absolutely ludicrous. Israel Folau, you and your whole scenario is ugly.
Thanks, Goody. And you've got a shout out to finish off with, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, I have actually. I've got a big shout out to a former Worcester and Scotland centre and a friend of the show and a friend of us, Goody. Alex Grove, oh, Keith.
Keith the Teeth.
Yeah.
Worst set of Nashes you've ever seen in your life.
I'll tell you what, his Nashes might fall out because his next challenge, okay, and we know that he's a bit of a swimmer. If you don't, he is. He did the Blenheim Palace sprint triathlon and probably would have lapped me five times when me and Andy Rowe were there. But he's swimming the Channel in August to raise awareness and money for Acorns Children Hospice. He's been looking for a challenge since hanging up his boots. We mentioned the Blenheim Palace sprint triathlon. He absolutely smashed it. So he is a fish. I mean, literally, the water comes in his mouth, the teeth don't block him, and it comes out of somewhere else, his ears maybe.
You could drive a car between his two front teeth, couldn't you?
That's why he can swim so fast.
He's talking about how he has to put on heaps of weight to try and put some blubber around him so that he doesn't get too cold.
Are you saying I've got a chance?
Mate, you're telling you there's a chance. But he's doing it for a great cause, and he's a good lad as well. So you can check it out on justgiving.com/fundraising/AlexChannelSwim, or just go to his social media page, Teeth, and you'll find the link there. But Grovesy, big shout out, mate. You're a good lad, and I do hope your teeth fall out because insurance might sort you out and you might get a new set of Nashes.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Gertie. Thanks, producer Tim, and thank you very much for listening as well. Don't forget to subscribe, follow us on Twitter, review us on iTunes, and check out our Superfans monthly subscription service at patreon.com/therugbypod.
Rugby pod.
Pod, pod, pod.